Adventures in Research. You won't find the name of Lord Lindock in the history books, but the British nobleman did achieve a peculiar fame for a strange adventure he undertook in the year 1819. So this is the strange story of Lord Lindock, the story of the Lonely Passenger. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today, telling you the story of a courageous captain, some optimistic businessmen, and an English lord with a love of adventure. But our story begins far from English shores. It really starts in New London, Connecticut, in the year 1807.
Ah, there, Hayden. Come over, join me at the table. Here, take a chair.
Evening, Captain Rogers.
What's ailing you, Hayden? Your face looks like a storm a-brewing.
The blasted fools. They've been bending my ear for an hour and a half about Fulton and his blasted steamboat.
Steamboat, is it?
Yes, steamboat, is it? Crazy fools to be thinking that a boat can sail without sails. Sail without sails. And ready to explode and blast us all to kingdom come. Oh, they talk fine enough. And I say to them, what about Fitch? He invented a steamboat, didn't he? And did he find a soul that would help finance it, let alone ride on it? Ah! Now this Fulton with his fancy ways.
Men say that it's the common thing, Hayden.
Yeah, to be sure they do. But they're not old salts like you and me, Captain. They don't know the sea and all its whims and fancies. They just say, me, oh my, a steamboat. Isn't that fancy, though? And have another sip of tea.
You don't think that Fulton's steamboat will make it, then?
Are you mad, Captain? You know it won't make it. Oh, won't that be the day when it starts up the Hudson? I'll be there, I can tell you. Ready to laugh when the blasted thing blows up or sinks down. Laugh till my sides ache, and I'll say, leave the seas to the men who know it. What was raised on it, breathing it, dreaming it, knowing it like the palm of their hand. Go back to your teacups, you dandies, and let the sea alone. Aye, that's what we'll say. Hey, Captain? That's what we'll say. You and I, Captain, just sitting there busting our sides laughing at
it. I don't think I'll be watching it, Hayden.
Not watching it? Why, everybody in town is going out to see this fool steamboat contraption. You just turning your back to it, that's it, eh, Captain?
Not turning my back, Hayden. I'll be on the bridge. I'm captain of the Clermont on its first run.
Captain Moses Rogers had been sailing since his youth. When the old-time mariner scoffed at Fulton, Rogers kept his peace and cast his lot with the dreamer. While the banks of the Hudson were crowded with scoffers waiting for the Clermont to blow itself to bits, Captain Moses Rogers stood on the bridge as the Clermont slowly pulled away and headed upstream toward Albany, joining in the marvelous new experiment of steam-propelled ships. The Clermont worked.
I've seen the future, Hayden. I've sailed the Clermont and she works. Now I've got command of a new ship, the Phoenix. And what I want to know is if you hands are willing to ship with me.
Another one of them newfangled steamboats, Captain?
Aye, Hayden, a steamboat. And we're bound from Sandy Hook to Cape May.
In those waters? A steamboat? Man, you must...
I say from Sandy Hook to Cape May.
Oh, Captain, maybe the steamboat can paddle up and down the Hudson, but taking it into open water, I say you can get another boy. I'd sail with you to the end of the world, Captain, but that don't include straight up.
Sign on or not, Hayden, I'm sailing with her anyway. And I'll find plenty of hands to go along.
Rogers did locate a doubting and unwilling crew, And there was probably good reason for their fears, for the Phoenix soon ran into trouble, serious trouble.
We'll have to beat your mateys, head for shore. This storm we can't do this.
Hard to port, men! Hard to port!
The Phoenix was wrecked. Mrs. Rogers was still convinced that a steamboat could match the ocean. But he found few men who would agree. For 10 years, he tried to find some backers willing to finance a steamboat across the Atlantic Ocean. Then came good news for the captain from businessmen in Savannah, Georgia, one of the biggest southern ports, with a group of young businessmen who were real go-getters. They'd finance Captain Rogers and back an ocean-crossing steamboat.
Did you hear the news? Why, President Monroe and his whole cabinet are going to go down to Savannah and inspect that steamboat what's going to cross the ocean.
A promising undertaking, Captain.
We trust so, Mr. President. She's a seaworthy craft. Unfortunately, we found the ship under construction in New York. It was intended to be a sailing vessel, but we made a few changes.
But the Savannah is full rigged, Captain.
Hey, Mr. President, but there's no sail higher than the topgallant. No, she's no clipper ship. The mainmast and the foremast are a good ways apart.
And in the space between are the boilers and engine.
90 horsepower engine, Mr. President. And over the side, you can see the paddle wheel with 8 arms. The engines power the paddle wheel, you see.
As I say, a promising undertaking, Captain. And you're to be complimented on your courage.
Courage, Mr. President?
Why not? Several of my cabinet have advised me not to take this tour of inspection. They say that I shall be blown to bits if those boilers explode. Do they have a habit of exploding?
Well, this is the future, Mr. President. We're going to cross the ocean by steam, and it will work, sir. Oh, the paddle wheel can be disassembled. If we hit stormy weather, we can rig up the sails and haul the paddle wheel aboard.
Then you're not convinced about steam power.
Sir, I am convinced. But canvas is tried and true.
Today, the Savannah would be but a dot on the ocean. It was 250 tons, had 32 staterooms, 2 salons. Elegantly furnished, the advertisement said, magnificent imported carpets, curtains, hangings, mirrors.
It'll do 10 knots under canvas. What'll it do under steam is anybody's guess.
And the ship is ready to leave Savannah, Georgia, May 20th. But where are the passengers?
When I cross the ocean, I want to get there in one piece.
Put my cargo on a ship where the boilers can explode any minute. I'd sooner send it across the ocean by camel.
Why, before I'd set foot in that steamboat, I'd swim across.
Day after day, the poor Savannah waits, looking for a single passenger or a solid piece of freight. But nobody dares to try it. Oh, they cheer the Savannah and its stout-hearted captain and crew, but they'll cross the ocean under sail, thank you. So the Savannah finally shoves off under a full head of steam, with no freight, no passengers, and a considerable amount of hope. There was no wireless back in 1819, so there was no news from the ship for several days. Then the captain of the schooner Contract put into New York.
Land of Goshen, gentlemen. Haven't slept a wink since I saw it. 2 days ago, we espied this ship afire and put out to rescue it. Smoke whipping up from it like doomsday, and we pulled over to help it. But the blasted ship was going too fast. We couldn't catch up with her.
On June 17th, the Savannah put into Cork, Ireland, belching smoke.
Ahoy there!
Ahoy!
Your ship's afire. We'll give you a hand putting out the blaze.
It's no fire, mate. We just crossed the ocean. This is a steamboat.
The ship went on to Liverpool. It had completed its Atlantic crossing in 29 days and 11 hours. Of course, it had used steam only 80 hours of the way. But it had proved that waves could be bucked without sails. Then it proceeded on to Copenhagen, and then Stockholm.
Captain Rogers.
Aye, that be the name.
Lord Lindock, Captain. And I'm genuinely pleased to make your acquaintance. Indeed, Captain, what a veritable hullabaloo you've created.
Hullabaloo, sir?
Oh, my friends in Liverpool tell me you set the city on its ears when you dock there with your steamboat. And there are many who say you're on your way to St. Helena to rescue Napoleon.
I have no interest in Napoleon, sir. I am interested only in the Savannah.
So am I, Captain. I am a man of spirit and adventure. My friends say I am a gentleman of daring do. Do you have a stateroom unoccupied?
My lord, we have every stateroom unoccupied.
What? No adventuresome soul to have the honor of purchasing the first stateroom on the first ocean-going steamboat? Well, Captain, I am such a gentleman and at your service. I shall make the voyage. When do we sail? I'm sorry. When do we steam?
So Lord Locke booked passage on the Savannah, the only daring gentleman who did, from Stockholm to Kronstadt. From there, the passengerless Savannah sailed on to Leningrad, where the Tsar gifted them with a gold snuffbox and then set sail for the return voyage to America. The weather was so stormy, Captain Rogers had to haul in his precious paddle wheel and didn't use it till just outside Savannah.
Yes, Captain, we are proud of you. The first steamboat to cross the ocean. No wonder all Savannah is singing your praises.
I have said before, Mr. Isaacs, the steamboat is the coming thing. Before long, everyone will be traveling the seaways by steam.
Undoubtedly, undoubtedly, Captain Rogers. My, yes. It is a great day for Savannah and a great feather in your cap.
Thank you.
Just think, crossing the ocean without sails. It's wonderful. It's men like yourself, Captain, that the future has to thank. Posterity will be proud of your courage, your foresight.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Isaacs. And what are your plans for the next voyage for the Savannah?
Oh, we have plans, Captain. One thing more. You say you finally did manage to acquire a passenger aboard the steamboat. Without Shanghai them?
Oh, yes, sir. Lord Lindock went from Stockholm to Kronstadt.
I see. Well, as to the plans for the Savannah, the plan is to turn into a sailing vessel permanently.
But, Mr. Isaacs, the future, the coming thing, you said, the steam age.
Very true, Captain Rogers. But, what about customers?
It was many years before steamboats were able to compete with clipper ships for speed, and many more years before passengers were willing to board them. But to those early pioneers, the Savannah, Lord Lindock, and most of all, Captain Rogers, go the credit for seeing the future in a boiler full of steam. And that's today's Adventure in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.